I'm not trying to condemn you. Remember this, what I said at the beginning. There's no condemnation this weekend on anybody. I'm just trying to challenge you. There's a difference between challenging you and condemning you. I want to challenge you so that when you go back from here, you'll be a different person. Because you're going to take every verse seriously. Now, I'll tell you what take hold of eternal life means. We first of all saw eternal life is not length of life. It's knowing. Eternal life is to know God the Father and to know Jesus Christ. Never forget that definition. John 17:3. Knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ is eternal life. And Paul is telling Timothy, lay hold of that. Get to know God better. Get to know Jesus Christ better. Get to know him personally. Paul is saying that to a man who was his co-worker for 25 years. And I would say that to all of you. I think Timothy was probably far ahead of all most of us here, spiritually. And so I would say to all of you, brothers, take a hold of eternal life. Get to know the Father and Jesus personally, intimately, more and more and more. It's the most wonderful thing of all. You know how people in the world like to know great people in the world. They like to know the president or some important person in the world. They like to know him. And they'd be pretty proud that I know the president as a personal friend, they'd say. I can call him anytime and he'd pick up the phone. Boy, that's pretty, really intimate. If you can call up the president of a country and he picks up the phone immediately and he knows it's you. But it's far greater to know Jesus Christ, ruler of heaven and earth, that when I call up Christ, he picks up the phone immediately and says, yes, what do you want? This is how we must know him. I wish everyone here will go away from this weekend being gripped by taking hold of eternal life. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you like Brother Zach knows you, and even better than that. Pursue it. In this connection, I would like to show you another verse. Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, we're going along the theme of the conference. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So it applies to everybody here. So in Hebrews 11, we read this wonderful truth. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, when I'm sure everybody sitting here would like to please God. I don't think there's a single person sitting here who does not want to please God. I really believe you want to please God. Well, let me tell you the first ABC of it. You cannot please God if you don't trust him. If you come to him and say, well, Lord, I'm not too sure whether you're going to answer me. Why? Oh, because I'm so small and insignificant. The Lord says it's from the least. The promise is to the least person first. So don't ever let the devil condemning you saying, I was born again only yesterday. So what? Even if you were born again only this morning, you can know the Lord. And you could have made a lot of progress in your life by now if you had understood these things more seriously from the time you were converted. You know, I took about 16 years after I was born again, even to understand what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to know God personally, intimately. And I've shared these truths with young 17, 18-year-old born-again people. And they say, I'm discovering these truths. I discovered these truths when I'm 35, and you guys are 16, 17, and think that in your lifetime you can go far ahead of me spiritually. But, I said, I don't think you will, because I'm going to run faster than you. Because I feel, Lord, I wasted so many years of my life. I can't afford to lose anymore, so I'm going to run fast. You guys get the truth, and you say, well, that's great truth, and you keep it in your head, and you don't pursue the Lord. So here's a verse for you, Hebrews 11:6. The last part. You must come with faith, but you must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And the King James Version says, diligently seek him. That's what I wanted you to know. God rewards not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Have you discovered that knowing Jesus Christ and God is eternal life? That's the greatest thing you can accomplish on earth is not to get a PhD. It's to know God. To know Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing, but it's possible only if you diligently seek it, wholeheartedly. I've heard that in the United States, sometime in the 1800s, over 150 years ago or so, they suddenly discovered gold in California. Somebody discovered near some river. And there was a mad rush of people from all over the country rushing to California to get gold. Literally would sit there by the river and take their nets and try and get a little bit of gold. So many people went there, hundreds of people. That's how California developed, by the way. A lot of people landed up there. They were looking for gold. And I thought of that, how many people are seeking for God like that? They seek for gold. That's called the gold rush. It's even today is known as the gold rush in the 1800s. Where is the God rush? Is there any? People rushing to know God better? And you don't have to travel anywhere. You can rush to find him in your own home. He's a rewarder of those who diligently, wholeheartedly seek him. And I tell you, I have come to know my Father in heaven and Jesus Christ as my Savior in an intimate way. Let me show you another verse. It's in Jeremiah, the Old Testament. In Jeremiah and chapter 29. Some of these verses is good for you to mark in your Bible or write it down somewhere so that you look. My first Bible was full of red lines. I mean red colored pencils I used whenever I found a verse that was really gripped. And because I could go back to it and I opened the Bible, I'd see some verses marked in red and I could remember it. And that's how I got to know the Bible, the important verses in the Bible. So here's one of those very important verses. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 to 13. Listen to it. And listen as if, and it's true, that God is speaking to you personally and saying to you personally, the Lord is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. And when it says you, think of yourself. Is God speaking to you personally? I know I have some plans for your life. Maybe you did not know it till now, but thank God you know it today. And those plans are to give you a future and a hope and not for any calamity. Plans for your welfare, to do good to you. God's plans are always like that. And how will you get to know the plans and how will you experience that in your life? Here's what you got to do. Verse 12. You will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You come and pray, Lord, you said in your word that you got a plan for my life, plan for my character to be changed from the wretched character I inherited from Adam that's caused so much trouble for my home, people in my home and others whom I encounter. You're going to change me. Call upon me. Call upon him and pray to him, and he says, I will listen to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I'll pick up the phone. As soon as you call, I'll pick up the phone. I like that. That I call someone and as soon as he sees my name, he says, oh yeah, I'm going to listen to him. This is Zach. I've got to listen to him. Imagine God saying that. That means as soon as I pray, he's going to listen. But hang on. There's one condition. It says in the next verse, you got to search for me with all your heart. It's not a difficult condition, but it is a condition. When will I listen to you and answer you? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then you will discover, verse 11, the plans I have for you. The wonderful plans I have for your life. When you search for me with all your heart, that means, what that means is, you pray for something and you didn't get it. You're going to keep praying. I pray tomorrow, day after day. I remember when I was so defeated in my life, and I knew that was not God's will for me, to be constantly defeated.